You can't really get a good sense of all of the historic character here from a book. If you can walk through it in three dimensions and put your hands on the materials, have a sense of the acoustics, and understand and appreciate the people who use this building, it can really touch your heart. I am David Gall, and I am the architect for the proposed rehabilitation of the Pepper Building.
Describe where we are right now.
We are entering the elevator lobby. Open, this entire floor was open to the elevator doors when the building first opened as a department store. Later, it was partitioned into a separate elevator lobby when the upper floors of the building were rededicated or reused for office space.
What do you see around you?
I see a lot of the original historic fabric that's very beautiful. We have the original plaster ceiling in this room. We have the original pendant light fixtures. We have the Xenotherm finish on the wall, which is a unique product from the 1920s and before. We have a beautiful terrazzo floor. We have a cast iron stair with marble treads and original cast iron radiators. I see a lot of beauty. I see some broken glass from vandalism, but I can see beyond that. This building's, I think, a very valuable part of the fabric of downtown. When it was first built, it was the tallest retail Art Deco building in the state, six stories. And it's one of the few Art Deco buildings left in our downtown. We've still got the Reynolds Building and the Lowy Building. The CVS Pharmacy up here at the corner of Trade and 4th was an Art Deco building at one time. It's been altered significantly, but it was a really fascinating building. And this building was designed by a famous architect, Northrop and O'Brien.
They did lots of work.
They did. They did the O'Hanlon Building across the street and the courthouse across Liberty. And interesting thing that I have learned is that two young men worked at Northrop and O'Brien at that time. Architect Harold Macklin, who lived at 330 Vintage Avenue in Washington Park, and also the first year that Luther Snow Lashmit came back to Winston-Salem from the École des Beaux-Arts in Paris, he worked for Northrop and O'Brien. So it's very possible that Lashmit and Macklin both worked on the drawings for this building, and I find that fascinating. The Pepper Building, I think, is still standing for a number of reasons, not the least of which is its structural frame is very sturdy, and there would be a tremendous cost of money to demolish this building. There were many ideas for how the building could be saved, and there were other ideas to demolish the building and build a taller building on this property, and I think eventually economics prevailed, and I'm thankful for that. The building, again, is very sturdy, so it would be a costly exercise to demolish this building. And because of the recession, the likelihood that a brand new tall building could be built here was greatly diminished. The building has a great deal of its original historic fabric still here. Over to our right is an original elevator cab, and it has its original fretwork at the top and the cushioned seat that the elevator operator used to sit on that has a crocheted cover on it. And we've got one original elevator that's pretty well intact that we're going to try to restore. The main part of this floor, which will be converted into the restaurant, has beautiful columns with plaster carving at the top that's done in an Art Deco style that simulates Ionic columns and has floral and organic treatments, you might say. And those are just beautiful and will provide a very high ceiling in the restaurant, be a very unique dining space, I think. The windows in the apartments above us are fabulous because they're 5 feet wide and 7 feet tall, so they let in lots of daylight. We still have, I think, many of the outdoor transoms that are over the windows over the doorways, and we're going to try to restore those, so there'll be lots of daylight coming into the first floor. The exterior skin of the building at 4th and Liberty still contains all of the original historic masonry, the fluted terracotta pilasters, the lion's head rings that held up the marquee canopies, and we're going to put back the marquee canopies, by the way. And again, all the original windows are still here. Right behind you on the wall is a product that's called Xenotherm. It's a wood product that's mixed with chemicals under pressure. Magnesium oxide, I understand, is one of them. And so it results in a very hard and non-combustible product that can be made into wall panels that simulate either marble or plaster. And they're also made sometimes into floor panels. So this building's got Xenotherm on the walls, and we're going to try to restore that where we can find it.
You want to show me around?
Yes. We're walking through the offices of the Winston-Salem Transit Authority right now and headed for the lobby. And we're now standing in the lobby of the Transit Authority that's got glass that looks out onto Liberty Street and the old courthouse. And if we look up above the ceiling, we can see the beautiful plaster columns with the Xenotherm wall finish and the fluted beams that span between the columns. And it's just a gorgeous ceiling in this room. And we'll be taking down the contemporary acoustical ceiling so that the entire height of this room, the 20-foot height of this room, will be exposed in the restaurant when we're done. Come on. This building had some very unique and interesting features. Right behind you is a hole cut in the landing of our stairwell, and that's where the pneumatic tubes used to pass vertically in this building so they could send messages and small items all around the building to the staff who worked here.
Here we are. And these are marble steps?
They're marble treads and on a steel frame with iron railings, and they're all original. And there's an original light fixture right there.
How is it that this building retains so many of its original features?
I think a lot of it was retained simply because it was designed well and very durable from the outset, and all these things that were retained were very practical. And so it didn't make a lot of sense to get rid of things that were still useful, and they're still here.
As a historic preservation architect, that must make your heart sing.
Well, it does, because it's rare to find so much still intact. It's been altered somewhat with all these improvements that were done in the 1940s and 1950s and even the 60s. But still, the basic fabric is still here. And that's what makes it valuable to us today. Now, we're in an office space that faces the O'Hanlon building across the street. And this space will be converted into an apartment. And the windows are double-hung steel sash. And they still operate, and they're 5 feet wide and 7 feet tall. So there will be a tremendous amount of daylight coming into these apartments, and they should be very nice places to live.
Do you know how many square feet typically they'll be?
The apartments will range, I think we've got the smallest at maybe around 400 or 500 square feet, and then I think we have some others that go up to 900. So they'll all be market rate apartments. The developer is a gentleman named Tom Prioreschi, and his company is out of Columbia, South Carolina. His partner's David Bryant and his son Jeff Prioreschi, and they have done very good work in rehabbing other historic buildings in Norfolk, Virginia, and Columbia, South Carolina, among other places. And they've shown a great interest and determination, I would say, in trying to save this specific building, and I'm grateful for that. I have been working with them for about 3 years, and it's just taken that long to get all the ducks lined up that were necessary for them to be able to acquire the building. And now that they've been able to team up with Mike Coe and his wife Patricia, the opportunity now is knocking at the door to get this building done.
When are you going to start, do you know?
We have already started the schematic drawings for the apartments, so we know exactly how the apartments will be laid out. We've laid out the first floor and the two basements, and we don't know yet the date for the start of construction because there are still some other ducks that have to be lined up, but it's coming. The general contractor is a company from Columbia, South Carolina, called McCrory Construction, and they're a very well-known and well-respected company, and they'll actually be part owner of the building as well. And we've had them here, and they've been able to actually put together some estimates on some of the work. That has a long way to go, but we know who the contractor will be, and Priyareshi and Mike Coe will be the owners of the building primarily. Okay, the first basement has some interesting features. You can actually walk out underneath the city sidewalk, both at 4th and Liberty. We have some of the original ceramic tile on the floor here and original plumbing fixtures. And actually, the original tile and fixtures also exist on the floors above as well. But this area out here is underneath the public sidewalk. And there was a lift out here that allowed packages to come up through the floor of the sidewalk, so to speak, and could be dropped hydraulically on this lift down to this level for receipt of goods and storage of them.
Was that a common thing at the time to have a place like that?
I think so. There's several places I know of in Winston-Salem that have basement space underneath the sidewalk, including the Brown Rogers Dixon building where the Mass store will go. And that's a fairly frequent thing. And these mechanical lifts were also fairly frequent, I think, in urban areas because it helped to expedite storage of goods.
What's going to be made of this space?
This will be part of a pub. And this is the rear of the building at the south side. And the building originally had a spiral metal chute that went from the top floor down to this level. And so packages could be put together on the floors above, put on the chute, and they'll just spiral down to the basement where they could be put on trucks and delivered.
Watch your step.
This is the kitchen of the Sir Winston restaurant. And we have some of the original kitchen food service equipment fixtures here.
And I swear I still smell grease.
Okay. And the dining area was in this room. And so we have some of our original red carpeting in this room and wood paneling on the walls.
Yeah, that's vintage, like, 60s.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, wow. And the wrought iron.
The carpeting's the same way.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the things I like about this room, though, is that there are still the quotes, like, stenciled on the walls and stuff. Yeah, yeah. There it is. Let's see what this says here. Bachelor's fare, bread, cheese, and kisses. That's a quote from Jonathan Swift, stenciled on the... You see that?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What's this one say?
What say ye to a piece of beef and mustard?
It's like Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Quote. Yeah.
This one is, kissing don't last, cooking do. George Meredith.
Why is that there? It says face painting, love, believe, hope, joy. Do you know?
The downtown partnership probably had some activities going on in here at some point in time. I really don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
There's a sign right here that says love, believe, hope, joy. I think that pretty much sums sums it up for this building in
That's
some
right.
ways, doesn't it?
You have to believe and hope that it can be done. You got to love the building, and when it's done, you're joyful.